Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of the fellowship in who'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the first person to share this morning is Brian. Do you want to share?
Hey, my name's Brian and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Thanks very much, Steve. Well, from the beginning, usually we just talk about what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. For myself, what it was like, sometimes it's a bit blurred because it's my sobriety date is the 4th of March 1992, so there's been a few days since then. But I suppose at times I have to go back and remember what it was like because I can easily forget. And this disease that I have is called alcoholism, which is the mental obsession coupled with the allergy of the body, that once I take that first drink, I'm compelled to have another. And I didn't know that at first, but I always did enjoy a drink. And then there are the feelings that go with it as to why I drank. I drank for effect because sometimes I just didn't feel like being in my own skin. And once I had a drink, everything sort of felt normal. But this disease, as I say, it's compelling for me to keep drinking. So I would go obsessively into drinking. And usually my behaviour would play out after that as well. So I became very antisocial in some respects. Always went out to have a good time, but those good times seemed to be chaotic. I seemed to be a producer of confusion rather than harmony. And it carried on throughout my, early teens, early 20s, into my 30s when I actually came into the fellowship. I had to lose a few things along the way, whether it be licenses, jobs. I lost a marriage and my children. But that was what had to happen to me, you know. People don't have to get to that rock bottom. And then there are those that get a lot further down. Thank God that I was fortunate that I didn't have to go lose my life, you know. But I was at the end, I think I was really sick and tired of being sick and tired. Coming to the fellowship and not knowing what the fellowship was, I didn't understand what an alcoholic was. I could say it, but I never knew what it was. And then my first meeting was in, like I got sober in Australia, and my first meeting was in a church hall. And met these people that were happy, about being sober, and I couldn't understand it. So I thought, well, how could you? Because I'd sort of grown up that if you didn't drink, you weren't normal. I've come to realise today that there are many people who don't drink and they're very normal, because I'm very abnormal, and I suppose in some respects I'm learning to be normal. I always thought normal was quite boring, but people don't do the things that I do when I'm drinking, you know. They may socialise where I'm excessive. Today, after that first meeting, I met these people and they shared with me the experiences, I suppose, as I'm trying to do today. And they seemed happy about being sober. My first person I met, he turned out to be my sponsor. This is the man that took me through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, showed me where the steps were within that book, and tried to help me as best he could. He was 5 years, and I couldn't imagine anybody not drinking for 5 years. You know, I actually thought he was lying. But I've come to realise that these days there are many people who, within the fellowship, you know, who have decades of of sobriety. And it does show, like, there is a peace about them that I still strive to have, because I've got this head that is a constant, at times, chatter. You know, it tells me things that aren't true. And the thing is, I sometimes listen to it. So when they talk about the serenity prayer, it's like that peace of mind. It's like, I like to have that. And accepting stuff that I can't control, or because most of my life has been about control too. That once I set something in motion, I expect it to happen. And if it doesn't turn out, I'm like a two-year-old kid and jump up and down and stamp me feet. And the world's, I don't like the world that I live in. But I'm learning, you know. It is about learning. It's about growing up for me too. I was always told, you know, I need to grow up. Yeah, because once I started drinking, like when I had my first drink at 17, I believe I stopped growing emotionally. So when I put my last drink down at 35, I had these emotions of a 17-year-old. And at 35, it's not a good idea to have emotions of a 17-year-old, because they're not mature. These days, life's a lot different. You know, I wake up rather than coming to. You know, and today it's a beautiful day, you know, and I get to see it, and I get to do this a bit of service, what I call service, for my own recovery. You know, these days I'm more open and willing to be of service to others, because a part of the my recovery is helping others, because I'm still in some aspects of selfish and self-centered. You know, it's all about me. And I find that through Alcoholics Anonymous, the steps are about we, our and us. So it's a different concept altogether. It's taking the focus off myself and throwing it out there. And in doing so, it seems that I have a great life. I'm not thinking about me, if I am at times. I'm thinking more of how can I be helpful. And really, that's the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, that my primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So while I'm trying to do that, I'm not thinking about me, you know. And I learned that through the traditions. If I can apply those traditions to my life, it helps. You know, I keep out of controversy. I'm doing my best to be the better person that I am. I don't always do it right, and thank God for that. You know, it's there's that part where I think it's in the big book, you know, that we're not saints, and it's about progress rather than perfection. And boy, that is such a relief, you know, because I've always tried to be perfect. Excuse me. So when things weren't working out right, it's like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And it's like, I'm just an alcoholic that has this head that it's not always correct, you know, it's not always right. But today it's different. I'm allowed to do, I can do service. I've been part of TCF, which is a treatment and correctional facility, helping out where I can, being available to go into treatment centres and other places that maybe they're unable to hear the message of recovery. You know, recovery is really, well, it's a great life. You know, it's different. It's I'm sort of like out of jail, you know, because I've been in prison in my own head that I can't make myself available for the people around me, for the day, you know, so I can't do that. It's like, why not? Oh, I just can't. But today it's like when someone asks me, are you able to do this? It's like, yeah, sure. And there may be fear that goes along with it, but once I step out of in faith, it seems that fear subsides. I've come to believe in a higher power, which helps me. A lot of people call God their higher power. The God of my understanding is a lot different than the God I understood. It is a power greater than myself, and that power seems to work in my life when I allow it. It's only when self-will gets in there that this power sort of moves to the side and says, go for it, you know. So I'm very grateful that I've been shown this way of life through Alcoholics Anonymous, and the members are part of it, you know, that are in it. They encourage me to do stuff, you know. It's about living life rather than enduring it, you know. And I'm grateful for that too. So I think I'll just leave it there. Thanks, Steve, and thank you very much for listening.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and we have members of the fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to continue on with the sharing, Emma, do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. My name's Emma. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Emma.
I guess, like Brian said, you know, I didn't really know what an alcoholic was before I got to AA. I knew by the time I got to AA that drinking had caused a lot of problems in my life, and, you know, I remember sitting at the pub with my brother in Sydney and joking about being alcoholics, but, you know, I didn't really know what that meant. We're more laughing about that as an excuse kind of for bad behaviour, but when I came to AA, and I guess, you know, other people had tried to tell me in that about my drinking, but when I came to AA, you know, I heard people share their experience about their drinking, and no one really said, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. They just said, well, if you want what we have, do what we do, you know. And there was kind of, because I guess I was like someone that would like to have a fight about things, and, you know, when people said, oh, you know, or I was in court or whatever it was, or I'd been fired from my job, and, you know, and I'd just spark up back at them. But it was, you know, it was different in AA, and I heard things that I related to, and, you know, people were happy, and I was very suspicious about that, you know. I thought, you know, like, you know, you're saying you're all sober and all that. I don't know, like, why would you be so happy? And but it kind of made me curious about it as well, I guess. And yeah, I was miserable as, and I guess that I didn't really understand, like, what really was there. But there was something about these people, and people had, you know, they talked about, I knew that they knew about drinking, you know, and you know, they weren't drinking anymore, and they just said, yeah, to keep coming to meetings, and I didn't necessarily quite believe everything that was said at first. I said, oh, yeah, no, you know, I don't kind of know about that, and like I said, that people were very happy, and that made me suspicious. But you know, I guess by the time I came back here this time, I'd run out of options, and actually, even though it felt like the worst place to be, and it was actually the best, because I didn't have any ideas left, and my circumstances had been worse, like in the past, but this time I guess I'd had enough, and yeah, so I knew to come back to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I had help from people that were sober, and, you know, they said come to meetings, and where I got to listen to other people share about, you know, how they used to drink and that they didn't drink anymore, and to start reading through the literature, and a lady that I had known from before had said that she was going to be my sponsor, so that I was to ring her, and we would meet up, I'd talk about my sorry life, and she would, you know, she would, I don't know, sort of talk about, you know, how she was sober, and because I guess that was the thing, you know, I'd stopped drinking, but I didn't know what to do with myself, and every day seemed to be about 2 weeks long because I was sober, and yeah, I didn't really know, you know, what to do. And so I went to, some days I went to a couple of meetings, and, well, I didn't have a car or a licence, but I guess I could have got the bus, but I used to walk mostly because it took up more of the day, and if I could walk to a meeting, and then the meeting was an hour, and then I'd muck around afterwards, and I smoked heaps then, and then I'd walk back to the support house, and that took up another hour, and then eat something and have a sleep and go to another meeting, and that kind of killed the day. And and yeah, I guess the first year of being sober was pretty hard, but it was still better than how it was when I came in. And I don't know if I noticed much change, like, in myself, but I could see other people who came in and were new, and I could see that they were changing. And yeah, like, just being able to have a laugh again and things like that. and, you know, the fact that, you know, I guess everyone that's, you know, that is in a meeting now, even if they've got years of sobriety up, you know, they've all been new at some stage. And people were very kind, you know. I wasn't probably a particularly pleasant person, and you know, I guess I feel lucky that I was desperate enough just to do this time what my sponsor said, because and you know, part of that was getting to be to become a part of AA, not just to come to AA and go to a meeting, you know, and a part of that was to get to know the people in my home group, and most of them were old men, and my sponsor would say, you know, you need to, who are you going to speak to this week? And I'd say, oh, not, you know, just, you know, and she'd say, okay, you need to pick two people and go, and you need to get to know those people. And I would walk up to people and say, you know, oh, my sponsor said I have to speak to you, and then I'd just glare at them, you know, and they were very kind, and they'd say, oh, well, you know, yes, Emma, and blah blah, and you know, and Bill talked to me about how he grew tomatoes in his garden, and I can't remember what, you know, but I got to kind of know people and to, I guess, yeah, start to become a part of AA and you know, to go and pick up new people, and you know, doing that sort of gave me like a couple of minutes not to think about myself, and I guess yeah, now, you know, you get to do things like come to this radio meeting. Yeah, my life's very different today, and it is through being sober. And you know, it wasn't a stretch when I came here when I came back this time that you know, that it was, it says in the literature about being beyond human aid, and you know, I'd tried many things to you know, to stop drinking or have life my way, and other people had tried to do things about me as well, and you know, I always ended up back in the same trouble. So that it needed some kind of like spiritual intervention was like, that was fine with me, you know. And so yeah, praying has been a big part of my recovery, and it does, you know, it does do something to relieve that that madness, just like, you know, speaking to a new alcoholic does something about it as well. And you know, carrying on working those steps. And I guess, you know, like, I came because, you know, I was in trouble, and you know, those steps and having that sponsor and that, like, continue to help me out with things today, you know, almost 5 years down the track. And you know, because I still have a lot of things that I find a problem, you know, and I guess all those years of drinking, I don't really know, like, what to do about things. So you know, the AA program, like, helps me out with all those things, and speaking to my sponsor, and you know, how I said that no one really said about, you got to do this or you got to do that. Well, once I got that sponsor, she did say those things, and you know, I needed that. You know, she'd say things like, we don't behave like that in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and I needed to be pulled up, because I'd been, you know, living my life how I liked, and you know, I was very arrogant, and well, in the end, I guess probably drinking kicked that out of me a bit, but you know, I thought it was my right pretty much to do as I pleased, and if you didn't like it, well, that was your problem, you know. And and you know, to do those steps and to look at my part in things, you know, that was a bit of a revelation, a bit like being able to see around a blind corner. You know, I didn't think, you know, I used to think, like, why is she still going on about it? You know, I've told her there's nothing to do with me, you know. And she'd say, what was your part? And say, oh, no, there wasn't. She'd say, well, no, there is, you know. And so, and there was a lot of things like that, you know. I'd think, like, oh, God, you know, like, maybe I need a new sponsor, you know. But she would go on about things, because, you know, it took me a long time to get some things through my head, and things, some things that were pretty simple. You know, I sat in meetings for a long time before people would say about, you know, it's the first, if you don't have the first drink, you can't get drunk. And I would think, what? You know, like, I know it's not the first one, it's the this one, or it's the, you know, and things like that, that actually, like, now make perfect sense. But it took me a while to kind of go, oh, right, you know. And yeah, I guess I was a bit scrambled when I got here, and it took a while for things to kind of even out. And, yeah, I did plenty of things that weren't recommended as well in recovery, but you know, I think the biggest thing was just that I would speak about them, you know, that I might stray off the track a bit, and then I'd think, oh, what if I drink, you know, that fear, and so then I'd tell my sponsor or disentangle myself from whatever the situation was and, you know, kind of get back to I guess, to AA things a bit more, you know, and yeah, I've a really good, you know, I've a really good life today, and yeah, I guess that's partly why I come and do this stuff, you know, it helps me stay sober, but also, you know, I didn't know about things like this really, you know, like I didn't, yeah, I guess I'd heard of AA, but I didn't really, I didn't know that there was this whole other way to live, and you know, it's pretty good, and, you know, it's, yeah, it's a sunny day, and I woke up sober this morning, and, you know, I know what I did yesterday, and, you know, it's pretty good. Thanks.
Thanks, Emma. You're on 104.6 Planet FM, and this is Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. We have members of the fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Liz. Do you want to share?
Hi, my name's Liz, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Liz.
Yeah, it's great to be here. When I got sober 3 years ago, I kind of never imagined that I'd be sitting in a radio studio sharing my story. I started drinking when I was 12. I come from an alcoholic family. My dad's he's still an alcoholic. He's still drinking. You know, he's really successful. My family is quite, you know, they what people would call a functional alcoholic family, and I started drinking with him when I was 12. I was his drinking buddy, and I continued drinking. Kind of when I started drinking at 12, I was a really awkward kid and had really low self esteem. And when I started drinking, I started to feel better about myself and to care less what other people thought. And I remember kind of just having those stone lagers with him and starting to feel better about myself and feeling like I belonged and feeling like one of the cool kids. And that really carried through with me until I finally got sober at 31. Because I never felt like I fitted in. Like I always felt out of the loop. I never felt like I was good enough. And alcohol would make me feel calmer. It would help with my anxiety. It would help me feel like I could talk to people. And so, you know, I really just continued drinking all through high school. And then, you know, when I went away to university, my drinking got really bad. And I remember in my second year of university, one of my flatmates being like, oh, I think you're an alcoholic. And I'm like, whatever, you're just so boring. You just don't want to come out drinking with me every day. And I always thought it was other people's problems. Like, I never thought I was the problem. And I did a couple of geographicals, so I ran away to London. And then things in London got too bad, so I ran away to Melbourne. And finally everything caught up with me. And it wasn't that, you know, I never got arrested, I never got done for drink driving, I never lost a job, but I could no longer handle the consequences of my behaviour when I was drinking, and I couldn't handle waking up with that anxiety and not remembering what I'd done, or if I had remembered what I'd done, trying to make it better. You know, my behaviour when I was drinking got worse and worse. I was violent, you know, I never knew what I was going to become when I started drinking, and I never knew when I was going to be able to stop. And my behaviour when I wasn't drinking was equally as terrible. I had, you know, huge anger issues. I was emotional. I was, you know, erratic. I was managing a team at the time at work, and I, you know, I still have, you know, some terrible kind of remorse about how I treated them. And I finally, I had to go into a psych ward because I just couldn't. I could no longer handle life. And I came into AA and I didn't get it straight away. I came in on a kind of a day release from a psych ward, and I saw God on the wall, and I was like, no, I'm not that sick. Even though, you know, I'm sitting in my pajamas with my hospital tags on in an AA meeting being like, I'm not sick enough that I need God. And so I went out drinking again for another few years, and my life, you know, steadily got worse. You know, what they say is, you know, you put down the drink, but every time you go back out, you know, you pick up where you left off and your life will just get worse and worse. And that's really what happened for me. And it took me 3 goes to get AA. I finally put down the alcohol, and my life didn't get better. straight away. So my last drink was on the 10th of October 2014, so I'm just over 3 years sober. And I thought when I put down the alcohol that my life would magically get better, and it didn't. Because, you know, I still didn't know how to deal with life. I had no coping mechanisms. I'd never developed any. You know, I started drinking at 12 and alcohol was always my go-to. That's how I coped with anything good, anything bad. I always just, you know, I drank for it. And then when I put down the alcohol, I had nothing else to use. And it was through working with the older sober members that I learnt how to grow up and be an adult. I was such a child when I came into AA, and I had this huge victim mentality. I thought everything was everyone else's fault. And it took me a long time to realise that alcohol was my main problem. I always thought, you know, I drank because I was depressed. I drank because people were mean to me. I drank because I had a hard job. But really, you know, it was the drinking that was making my life so difficult. And it took a long time for me to accept that, because I just really clung to the fact that alcohol had made my life better and didn't want to accept that alcohol had made my life so, so terrible. And so it was, you know, coming into AA, I found a sponsor and she started taking me through the steps, and I had to start taking responsibility for my actions. And it was a huge learning curve. Yeah, I really sat on step four, taking an inventory of what I'd done and the people I'd harmed, because it was such a shock to me. It was such a different way of thinking. And, you know, when I first came in, everyone was like, take it a day at a time. And I had to take it 5 minutes at a time sometimes. You know, a day was too long to think, I'm not going to have a drink today. Sometimes all I could think is, I'm not going to have a drink for the next 5 minutes. And I ended up having to quit my job because I couldn't manage getting sober and working in quite a high-pressured situation. And so I devoted kind of 6 months, my first 6 months of sobriety, I didn't work, and I just devoted myself to going to meetings. And I was going to 2 or 3 meetings a day because it's all I could do to stay sober. I would go to a meeting in the morning and say, okay, I just have to stay sober until 12. And then after that, I'd just have to stay sober until 6. And after a while, you know, I was going to these meetings and someone said, you need to get off your ass and put in some work. You know, AA is not just about sitting in meetings. And that was one of the best things that someone ever said to me, because that's why I got a sponsor and started doing the steps. And I found the steps really, really difficult, because I'm not naturally someone that opens up easily to other people, and I'm not naturally someone that wants to take responsibility for their own actions. And so putting in the work by going through the big book with someone and doing the steps, it, you know, it kind of went against everything I'd ever done to cope with life. But it was the best thing that I've ever done. The steps have changed my life. You know, there's people in AA, you know, newcomers, and I totally identify with them. They don't want to go through the steps. They just want to get sober and not have to put in the work. And I totally understand. I know I was in the same boat. But, you know, I just say to them, you know, just put in the steps, do the work, and your life is going to get so much better. You know, my life is so much better than it used to be. People want to spend time with me now. I have a job. I have a husband, you know, I've got a house, I've got friends, I get to see my family, I can be of service to people within the fellowship and outside of the fellowship. And I'm just, you know, I'm such a grateful alcoholic. Not grateful that I'm an alcoholic, but grateful that I've got AA, because without AA, you know, I couldn't cope with life. And so, you know, I'm really grateful to be here today as well, to be able to share the message. And yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Liz. Liz was mentioning the 12 steps and the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a 12-step recovery program, and the big book is the text of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's called Alcoholics Anonymous. This brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. Or you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists, that'll give you a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area, where we have about 140 meetings a week. You'll also get a list of meetings up and down the country as well. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.